Well, it's good to be with you guys. We are going to be talking about don't waste your life, and today we're really going to talk specifically about living without regret. And when I think about living without regret, there is certainly a great opportunity that's coming up July 16th through 19th. It is our Adventure Week. It is our day. It's our week-long program, 4 days. We do it Monday through Thursday with our kids, and so it's going to be an incredible time. We're expecting about 300 kids, and so we need some adult support and some teenage support to be able to help pull that off. And I think we've had close to about 100 that have already signed up to help, and we're still looking for some more people. And so in your seat back pocket in front of you, there's an opportunity for you to pull this out, for you to be able to say, hey, you know what, I'm willing to help. I'll volunteer, and you can drop that off at the Welcome Center, or you can drop that off at the Next Steps area when you leave today. Well, as we look at this idea of don't waste your life, I think that there are too many people out there that they have wasted their life believing some things about God that aren't true. That they've wasted their life believing things like, you know, all religions, they just point to the same God, and as long as you just believe in something, you'll eventually get to God. And it's a pleasant thought, but it's just not true. And people will waste their life believing that about our Heavenly Father, even though He has told us differently. That there's some people that they'll end up wasting their life when what they believe about God is they just believe that, you know what, God loves other people more than He loves me. That what I've done in life, God just won't forgive me of. But God will forgive you, and God will forgive them, but He won't forgive me. Then there's some people that they waste their life doing just the opposite. That they go, oh, yeah, He's forgiven me, but no, He's not going to forgive you. And they waste their life with this. There's some people, they end up wasting their life when what they think about God is that they think something like this. And there's some well-meaning Christian songs out there that have a line in it, something like this, that my God, You never let me down. And there's some people that they'll end up wasting their life thinking that's supposed to be true, but yet when they look at their own life, they're going, but God's let me down. And He does. God lets us down. And I know for some of you guys, you're hearing me say that, and you're going, that sounds a lot like heresy. I'm not sure that that's really a truth. I don't know about that, Will. I want you to follow with me. Don't give up on me on this thought yet. That God, He is perfect. So He lets us down, but it's not because He's not perfect. God loves you. And so God's not letting you down because He doesn't love you. He does love you. That God forgives. He offers to forgive us all. And so it's not that He's letting us down because He's not willing to forgive us, or that He can't, or that He won't. That's not the reason why God lets us down. Let me share with you why I believe that God lets us down. And God lets us down when our expectations oppose what He orchestrates or allows. That's when God lets us down. He lets us down when our expectations of what we think God should be doing, how we think God should have looked out for us, when our expectations, they're in direct opposition to what God either orchestrates. He's going, I'm wanting this to happen, and this is how it needs to happen, and I want it to be this way. And sometimes it's not what He wants, it's just what He's allowing to take place. That we live in what's called a fallen world. And in a fallen world, it means that we as people, we can make sinful choices, we can make bad choices. And some of our bad choices, they end up affecting other people. And some of the things that we end up doing in life, the shrapnel ends up hitting the people closest to us, the people we love the most. And maybe you're going, I've got some shrapnel in me, and it's because of somebody you love and somebody you're close to, but yet these things happen. And you're going, why, God, why would you let that happen? And you're going, God, you've let me down. So we've got the songs out there, and we're singing these songs, and maybe you're out there, and maybe you hear a song like that, and you're just kind of singing along, and you're going, it's a lie, I really don't believe this God, but I'm singing it anyways, hopefully I can get there one day. Maybe it's a song that you're willing to sing and you're embraced because you're just going, I'm going to claim that from this point forward, I'm just going to believe God that You're never going to let me down. But if we don't think about this in the right light and the right understanding, it's going to mess with us emotionally. Because we're going to go, wait a second, God, if you're the God that's not ever supposed to let me down, and yet I'm feeling like I'm let down right now, there's either something wrong with you or there's something wrong with me. And that is true. But the first part of it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with God. But there will be something wrong with us. That when God lets us down, it is because our expectations of him, they oppose what he either orchestrates or what he allows. So don't waste your life going, you know what? God let me down, therefore God doesn't care, therefore God doesn't exist, therefore God's not powerful enough. Don't waste your life believing that lie. Instead, begin to understand who your Heavenly Father is. And there are going to be times that God lets us down because what we wanted, what our plans for him, what our plans for him to do for our life are different. And he is the perfect, loving Heavenly Father. And his ways are always best and better than ours. You know, God has given us this one life to live. And this one life to live that he's given us, he's given it so that we would live it to his glory. So that we would live it to bring glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. That life, it's too short for us to just be stuck kind of wandering through life, trying to figure out what's my purpose, what am I supposed to do, what am I destined for. Life's too short. And so we need to be looking and discovering and seeing. We don't want to have regrets and we don't want to have these wasted opportunities. Because life is too short for this. We've got one life to live and we can't afford to waste it. And I think the first key to living a life that's not going to be a wasted life is that we would live a life with no regrets. That we would begin to look at our life and go, how can I move from this point forward and living the rest of my life without regret? How can I do that? Why is that so important? And yet, how can I do that? You know, have you ever felt like you wasted your time? Yeah, you know, you did something and you're like, oh, that was a waste of time. I've been actually researching and trying to buy something for our family, and I'm looking on Craigslist and looking everywhere I can. And you know, one of the things that I'm seeing people putting on their item, no lowballers, don't waste my time. They don't even want somebody to contact them with an offer if it's not what it is that I... Some people say it's non-negotiable because they don't want their time wasted. Save your time, save mine. Because they know that time is the most precious commodity that we have. There's nothing more precious than the time that we have and what we do with that. And it's expiring. And there's no way to get it back. And so we look at that and we go, ah. Have you ever felt like worse, not just wasted your time, but that you've wasted your life. That was just a waste. And it was a waste of my life and waste of an opportunity. You know, that's a terrible place for us to be at. You ever contemplated and tried to figure out what is it that I can do to make the most of my life? Because I think that we all want to make the most of our life. I think that sometimes some of the regrets that we look back on and go, oh, I really regret that. It's because we were doing what? We were trying to make the most of our life. And how we were going about trying to make the most of our life, we ended up making some bad decisions trying to make the most of life. And that's what ends up bringing some of our regrets and our pains. So what do we do and how do we handle this? How do we move forward? That there's a study out there that was done by the Alliance Group. And they did this study, and they wanted to find out among Americans, American adults, they wanted to find out if they regret major life choices. And what they discovered was 32% of American adults regret major life choices. Life choices like their education, the college that they went to, regret the profession that they sought to be part of. They regret going to work for that employer. That they just have these major regrets. 32% of Americans have these kinds of regrets. When I think about regrets, there's some common threads here to regret and how do we end up getting to this place of regret. I think for some people, when it looks to, they take inventory and they go, how is it, why is it that I end up having some of these regrets? And I think some of it has to do with people pleasing. Some people, they're just kind of, they've got that people-pleasing gene in them, and they're just living their life, and they're just trying to please people, and they found out that they made choices, they didn't please somebody, and it just kind of wreaks havoc on them, and they're not comfortable, and they don't like themselves because they weren't able to please somebody, and then it just kind of spirals out of control, and now there's multiple people, and just going, I just want to please the people in my life, and you soon discover you can't please everybody. But you end up regretting that you didn't. I think another common reason that there are some regrets with our life and what we end up regretting is we regret this procrastination. That we've just kind of put some things off and we get to this place in our life where we're going, why did I put that off? And why did I put that off for so long? And then we end up having regret because we feel like we can never go back and we can't ever get the traction that we would have had if we would have done it sooner. And some of our regrets are our choices. We make these poor choices. It's these choices that when we look back, we're like going, what was I thinking? Why did I think that was going to be a good idea? Why was I willing to do that? And it's these poor choices, these choices that then in the moment they seemed fun and they seemed rewarding. But these choices that ultimately ended up wrecking some pieces of our life. See, these are common things that happen when it comes to the regrets that we have. I was thinking through how, When it comes to regrets, how is it that we even get introduced to regret? And I think that we all get introduced to regret very early in life when we are young. And I think when we are introduced to regret is when we get caught for the very first time. That we were doing something that we knew better and we knew we shouldn't have. And we didn't regret that we were doing something that we shouldn't have. We regretted that we got caught. And that's when we get introduced to regret for the very first time. And we regret that we did that because of the consequences, because of the pain, because of the relational trauma that ends up coming in of disappointing somebody. We get introduced to regret. But we don't learn the valuable life lesson. We don't learn that valuable life lesson of that when I make a bad choice, when I've waited too long, and we don't learn this valuable life lesson that this hurts relationships with other people. We don't learn it. And so what do? We keep making these poor choices. And we keep repeating this process of regret. We do it over, we do it over, we do it over. We're going to be in the book of Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to be looking at this made-up story, this allegory. It's called a parable, and Jesus makes up this story because he wants to teach us some principles. He wants to teach us some eternal principles. He wants to teach us some things about ourselves as people. He wants to teach us some things about our Heavenly Father, and so he makes up a story, and he would do this multiple times. And so he makes up the story so that we can learn something about God and about ourselves. And so we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But I just wanted you to be able to find that and see where we are. You know what God does? God reveals who he is and what he wants. God does this. He reveals who he is and what he wants. And when you read the Bible, you begin to discover more of this. That some of you guys, you're here today because you're going, hey, I want to discover more about God. I want to learn more about him. I want to learn more about myself. Some of you guys, you might be here today and you're like going, I just felt like there's something that's kind of missing in my life, and I just want to see if the church has something to offer. I'm not sure I believe what you guys might believe, but I'm just kind of here and I'm just kind of searching and looking and seeing. And that's great. And if that's where you are certainly welcome to be here, that we've created this church for people like you. And so you are in the right place. But our Heavenly Father, God, that he wants us to know who he is and what he wants. Anybody here want to be blessed by God? Yeah. I mean, isn't that what we want? And there's some of us that we do a really good job of giving God credit when we sense a blessing, when we feel like, hey, you know, I didn't deserve this, but this is a great thing, and I really like this. And so we do. We all want to be blessed by God. Some of us will be selfish enough to pray for it. Others of us were like, well, I'm not going to pray for it, but you know what? If it comes, I'm certainly not going to put a stop to it, and I'm gonna welcome it with arms wide open. And so I was thinking, you know what? Wouldn't it be cool if God would just bless somebody in the room with $10,000. I mean, wouldn't that be a blessing to have this $10,000 come your way that you weren't expecting, and God just kind of randomly just picked somebody in the church to bless? I mean, you know, just random. And I was like, wouldn't that be great? Just one person in the room. And so, you know, hey, I certainly would be very glad to receive that blessing. So, you know what, God, thank you. Thank you for picking me. I'm so grateful, because this is an incredible blessing. And when God does something for us that we just didn't expect, and it's bigger and better than anything we ever thought or imagined, we couldn't see it coming, we go, wow, what a blessing. And we love it. We'll even tell other people about it. We're just so excited. God is so good. But you know, God blesses. And as he blesses, he doesn't always bless everybody the same. In fact, when we look at how God blesses, that God doesn't bless people equally. So yeah, I got a blessing of $10,000, but John Smith, whoever this guy is, he gets $100,000 from God. And you know what? You know what that does? It takes my little thing that looked like a blessing, and it just doesn't look like that much of a blessing anymore, because what do? I end up comparing it to somebody else's blessing. You know, why did they get more? Why are they blessed with more? What is it about? What did they do? How did they deserve that compared to me? And God, look, they didn't even need it as much as what I need. Don't you know where I'm at, God? Don't you know what all do I need to deal with? And if we're not careful, we end up comparing. And as we compare these blessings, it messes with the way that we see God. But see, when we look at this, we try to understand more of this. We'll just go one more. And here's where God's going to come in, and he's going to bless Jane Doe with $1 million. So I thought, hey, I got this $10,000 blessing from God, and when I couldn't see and didn't know, my blinders were on, and I didn't know about anybody else and any kind of blessing and any kind of measurement of anything else, that felt really good. And that made me feel special and valued and God looking out for me. But when I don't have the blinders on and I've got peripheral vision and I begin to see that God's blessing somebody else with $100,000, and God's blessing somebody else with $1 million, mine doesn't feel like much of a blessing. You know what? Actually, it begins to take on more of a feeling of just being cursed. That I'm cursed by God. Why is it that I would only get that? Why is it that I'm disappointed God? Why is it that God thinks so little of me? And it does this. Here's what I've discovered. That comparison kills contentment. That comparison, it kills contentment. That when we just get a blessing and we got the blind, and we just see what God's done for us, it's like, oh, God, thank you so much. God, you are so good. And he is. But when we don't have the blinders on, and we look and we see that the same God that we felt like was so good, and that God isn't fair, oh, we don't like that. Because we think, you know what, God, you've got to be fair. And that's not fair that you're not blessing everybody equally. And that's not fair that I've done something that I feel like I've deserved more than they, but yet I got less than they. And that's not fair. Well, let's look and let's see a little bit more about this whole idea of blessing and how this relates to don't waste your life, as we jump into Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. So Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of the man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. So whose money is it? It's the master's. It's his money. And what's he doing? He's entrusting it to his servants that they would watch over that. They would do something with it. So that's what he is doing. So we got to pay attention to whose money it is. Verse 15. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Listen, Jesus is making up the story so that we can see and understand some truths. And he does this what? He does it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his long trip. See, you might have been specifically blessed by God. But your blessing is different because it's based on your ability of what you're going to do with that blessing that God gives you. See, God is good, but he is not fair. And I know that as you hear about this, and I'm just kind of drilling this in, that for some of you, you've got this little fairness meter, and your alarm's just kind of going off, going, that's not fair that he gives that guy 5, he gives that guy 2, and he only gives that guy 1. And what is it? Why would he do that? And then he's doing it according to their abilities? That's not right. He should give equal opportunity to everybody. That's what our fairness meter tells us. And this isn't fair. Well, God blesses us with an expectation that we will use the blessing to bring him honor. That when we get blessed by God, he blesses us with an expectation. Here's your blessing. Your blessing of health, your blessing of prosperity, your blessing of relationship. Here's your blessing. I am blessing you with this, with the expectation that you are going to use this blessing to bring honor to me. It's why he gives it to us, and he gives it. The intention of the master. And I think everybody hearing Jesus talk through this, as he's making up the story, the intention of the master is to bless his servants. That's his intention. Is I'm going to bless my servants. And he sets his servants up for success. He doesn't take one and go, you know what? I'm going to give you guys all equally, even though I know you could really do more if you had more to handle. He doesn't do that. Instead, he goes, I know how much you can handle, so I'm going to give you this much. It's not too much. It's not too little. I'm going to give you 5. He gives another one 2. He says, this for 2. 2 for you is not too much, and 2 for you is not too little. It's the right amount. And so there's your blessing. 1 for you, that's the right amount. It's not too much, it's not too little. It's according to your ability, it's what you're gonna be able to do something with, and you're gonna be able to bring glory and honor to me as I entrust this blessing to you. That each servant would have the ability, they would have the ability to please their master with how their master blessed them and said, here's what I want you to manage for me. Let's look further. Verse 16. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and he earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. That when you look at this, here's what you can see. You get to see that 2 of them worked for their opportunity. And 1 of them wasted theirs. The 2 worked with this opportunity that the master was giving them, and 1 wasted the opportunity that the master gave. Verse 19, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. So what is there for us to learn through this? Servants report to their master. That servants will give an account to their master. And so as God blesses us, we're going to have to give a report. We're going to have to answer back, God, what did we do with what you chose to bless us with when it comes to how we're supposed to manage whatever it is we get with this life? And we are going to have to give a report. We're going to have to answer to our master. Verse 20. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I have earned 5 more. He's given his account, given his report. Here you go. I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount. Listen, he's talking to what? The one he gave the most to. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. He's going to reward them, and now he wants to go out and celebrate with them. Let's look further. Verse 22, the servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest. I have earned 2 more. And the master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. He had the medium-sized amount. It's still small as he's telling him this. This small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. I'm going to give you many more responsibilities. In other words, I'm going to give you many more blessings that you're going to have to be responsible with. And so he wants to do this. Then it's, hey, let's celebrate together. See, in this story that Jesus is making up, the master refers to, capital M, the master, our Heavenly Father. That's who he's referring to. And he's trying to help us understand who our Heavenly Father is. And he is the master. And the master, he's going to bless us in ways. It's not going to be fair. It's not going to be equal. But it's going to be according to our abilities to bring glory and honor back to him. And when we are faithful with the small amount that he gives, he's going to do what? He's going to bring more responsibility. He's going to give us more to handle. He's going to bless us even more, so that we would use those blessings to bring glory and honor to him. And when we look at this, the master, he does 3 things here. That he praises. He praises his servants for what they've done, for the work they've done. They didn't waste their opportunity, they worked their opportunity. He praises them. He rewards them. And then he gives them more responsibility. This is what he does with them. Verse 24. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, harvesting crops that you didn't plant and gathering crops that you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. And he can't wait to relinquish it and to give it back. Because he didn't treat it as if it was a blessing from God. He treats it as if it was a curse, that it was his responsibility that he never wanted, and he just can't wait to give it back. He didn't use this thing that had been entrusted to him to bring glory and honor back to his master. It says, but the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant, and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Why didn't you do at least something small, just a little thing with what I entrusted you with? Just do something little for me. Why wouldn't you at least do that? Even just something safe, just play it safe and let it do something, instead of just burying it. Listen, God blesses us. And he blesses every single one of us. And there are times that there are people and they go, you know what? I'm just going to bury the blessing. I want to handle this in a way that's going to bring glory and honor to God. I feel pressure. I'm not sure what to do with this. But when we look and go, this blessing is in order for us to bring honor back to our master. This blessing of time, the amount of time that I have on earth, because he blesses us with different amounts of time. He blesses us with different amounts of talent and different types of talents. He blesses us with different measurements of treasure. and that we're to use that to bring glory and honor to him. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver, to which some people in the room automatically go, that's not fair. Well, why would you give it to him? Can't you give it to the guy with four? He already has 10. Wouldn't it be more fair? But see, God gives according to our abilities. And according to what he knows, he can entrust us with what we will do for him. He said, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. See, God's blessings aren't meant to be this thing of scarcity. When we work those opportunities with the blessings that come, he's going to do what? He's going to give us even more. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken. It's going to be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, in the story, two of them lived a life without regret. And one had a major regret. You know, thinking about regret is self-assigned blame for our bad choices. It's a self-assigned blame for these bad choices. If we don't self-assign blame, we won't regret our bad choices. If some of us make bad choices, we don't regret it because we don't ever assign blame and recognize, no, I messed up. But when we regret, there is this self-assigned blame. And regret, it always takes us down memory lane. The regret, it takes us down memory lane, and that memory lane always starts with, if only. If only. If only I'd spent more time with the people that I love. Now, some of you, most of you in this room, you're old enough that you've got your own kids. And when you get to see the kind of time and effort and energy that one of your parents or both of your parents ends up giving your kids, you're like going, why didn't I get that much energy, time, and effort from you? Let me tell you why. Because the older we get, the more important we begin to understand that time with the people we love is one of the most valuable things that we could do. And so in those grandparenting years, it's that sense of, you know what, life is slowing down and I'm going to leverage this thing called time, what little I've got left of it, to pour into the people that I love most. And that if only becomes this motivational thing. For some people, when you think in terms of if only, it's, you know what, if only I'd taken my education more seriously. If only I'd have been more responsible in my younger years. If only I'd have saved more and I would have spent less. If only. And we begin to have these if only thoughts. If only I'd listened more and talked less. We have these if onlys. If only. If only I would have trusted what God was saying sooner. And we have this memory lane because if only thoughts, they express our regrets. Regrets from our childhood, regrets from our parenthood, regrets from our career, regrets from our relationships. If only they express our regrets. So I want to wrap up real quickly, identifying four products of regret. Four products of regret. I think it's going to be worth you looking at these to be able to wrestle with them. First one is regrets poison our outlook on the future. The regrets, they do. They poison our outlook on the future. That when we've got regrets in our past, we have a hard time believing and seeing that the best is yet to come and good things are ahead. Because regrets, they poison our outlook on the future. They regrets, number two, they pollute our opinion of ourselves. The regrets they do, they pollute our opinion of ourselves. We no longer can see ourselves the way God sees us, as somebody who's worth loving and somebody who's valuable. But when we look at our regrets and some of our poor choices, it begins to pollute our opinion of ourselves, and we think so little of ourselves. It's a product of regret. A third product of regret is regrets, they paralyze our efforts to make decisions. See, when we've got regrets in our past and we're I just don't want to make another bad choice and I don't know what to do and it begins to paralyze us because we're going, I don't want to choose something that I'm going to now have more regrets down the road and I just want to make the right choice, the perfect choice, and it paralyzes us because we're just not sure which way to go and we don't want to make another regret-filled decision. The fourth product of regret is regrets punish our present life for our past choices. It punishes our present life for our past choices. See, people who discover what God wants, and they believe that God wants is best. That people who discover what God wants and they believe what God wants is best, they make choices that they don't end up regretting. And so we're going to finish this up right here. And I know some of you guys are like going, okay, so you leave us with the products of regret, but how is it that we can live our lives without regret? How is it we go about doing that? Well, I'm out of time. But I want you to understand this is a two-part message. And so I'm going to address next week where I am leaving off right now. And next week, it's a holiday weekend, and if you're in town, you really need to be here. I don't say that with every talk I give, but I'm telling you, if you're going to be in town, you need to be. If you're not going to be in town, then you need to get on our website and figure out, hey, how can I get to that podcast, or how can I get to the video link so that I can watch that? Because I really believe this, if you're not here next weekend and you don't do that, you're going to regret it. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, you certainly are the one who you choose to bless us. And God, that we are people that we get so bought into this idea of comparison and it so messes with us and it kills the contentment that we should have when it comes to how you bless. God, you are a good God. You're not always fair, but you are always good. You are perfect. So I pray that we would be able to receive whatever blessing and whatever measurement and whatever time that you're going to give us, that we would be able to receive that. And as we receive it, that we wouldn't just bury that, but instead that we would work that opportunity that you give and we would bring glory and honor to you and we would find such peace and joy in life because we're doing that with the blessings that you bring our way. I pray that as we look at this next week and we pick this up and we look at how is it? What is it we need to do? What do we need to be asking ourselves? And what choices do we need to be making so that we can live our lives without regret? So that we don't have to live with these products of regret anymore. God, I pray that you would speak into our lives next week. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.